joined by contributor Larry Nagengast, who this week takes a look at what's going to eventually happen with the former Brandywine Country Club site in Brandywine 100. There seems to be a little bit more clarity on what may go there, but some questions remain as well. Larry, thanks for joining us on The Green this week.
Glad to be here, Tom.
So perhaps the biggest takeaway from your reporting this week is that the planned development there is not going to be as big as many neighbors had feared. What is it going to look like if this particular plan pans out?
Well, after they purchased the Brandywine Country Club site, Capano Management, the developer, announced a plan for more than 500 housing units, most of them apartments, on the 111-acre site. Now, that was about 6 years ago. Now, the thought of all those apartments didn't sit well with the upper middle class neighbors, you know, who are accustomed to the quiet of the golf course and, of course, their own somewhat sprawling communities. Now, after a couple of years of back and forth with civic associations and elected officials, Capano did scale back its plans. And so now we're talking about 300 apartment units and 65 single-family homes. And they're going to be at a price point that's designed to please the neighbors who might be concerned about property values. According to a Capano website, the estimate is that monthly rentals of studio apartments would start at $1,200, and that the homes, depending upon the design and their size, would sell for anywhere between $400,000 and $900,000.
Now, one big issue with this project was a connector road through the development to the Capano-owned shopping center on the other side that sits on Concord Pike that would link Shipley Road and Concord Pike. What is happening with that planned connector road?
Well, again, that was another thing that riled up the neighbors when they saw the first cut of this plan. The residents of the developments, especially along Shipley Road, were concerned because they feared that increased traffic would occur if the motorists had a convenient alternative to taking the busier routes of Silverside Road or Neyman's Road to get from the Shipley Road area over to Concord Pike. Now, Capano revised its plan, and it helped in revising the plan that Capano also owns the Concord Square Shopping Center. So they revised the plan, eliminated the access to the new community from Shipley Road, and they're going to, now the only entrance is going to be through the shopping center. And now, while that entrance from Shipley Road has been scrapped, there is going to be a pedestrian and bike path running from Shipley Road to the shopping center. So if you're on foot or if you're on a bicycle, you would be able to move from Shipley Road over into the area around the shopping center and other places up and down the pike.
So there will still be a road. It won't connect with Shipley Road, but it will still have an impact on the shopping center along Concord Pike. Exactly how is that going to work, putting that road through the shopping center into this new development?
Okay, so under the updated plan, as I said, there's only going to be one road into and out of this proposed community, and it runs from Concord Pike almost through the middle of the Concord Square Shopping Center. Now, what that means is that Capano is going to have to tear down a couple of the existing retail spaces in the main section of the shopping center to make way for that new road. Now, here's where things start getting interesting, because Capano has to ask for approvals to bend a couple of existing rules. Now, first of all, under the county's land use laws, subdivisions that have more than 300 units must have more than one road in and out. So, because that access from Shipley Road was eliminated, Capano needs a variance, a type of special approval, so that it has only one entry and exit to the subdivision, and that would be the road through the shopping center. Secondly, because a couple of those retail spaces would be torn down to make way for this new roadway, Capano wants to make up for that by building two more retail pads, probably for restaurants, in another section of the shopping center. Now, this would increase the overall square footage that's currently allowed in the shopping center. And to have that take place, Capano has to get the county's approval to change deed restrictions that are now in effect.
Now, the entirety of the property is not just going to be this new apartments and housing. There's also a piece of land that at this juncture will wind up in the hands of Brandywine School District, and the school district is funding a school on that property with that land, which would be donated to the district. What do we know about this part of the plan, what it would look like, and who this school would serve?
One of the things that happened when Capano reduced the number of housing units in this development plan was that they set aside about 44 acres of open space, which is kind of on the northeast side of the country club site. Now, there was some discussion about turning that into a county park, but no formal proposal was ever made. And so when the talks of a county park bogged down, County Councilwoman Dee Durham took Capano's offer to the Brandywine School District, which was more than willing to accept the land, with the idea of keeping some open space and eventually building an early learning center that would serve disabled children and those who need childcare from birth through age 5. Now, in the last year and a half or so, that idea really picked up steam, and the district has already received $26 million from the state to start working on building a facility that would serve somewhere between 400 and 500 children. Now, everything is in a very preliminary stage right now. Yeah, the state has given the district the school money, but there are no architect's drawings. There's nothing like that. But we do know, because of the age levels of the children that would be served and the disabilities that a number of them would have, that this would have to be a one-story building. Possibly we have offices on the second floor, but the area that would serve children would have to be on a single floor. And it would have to have large hallways and other amenities because of the special needs of these children. Now, the district also wants to partner with state agencies and healthcare providers to offer essential services that are not typically found in schools. Medical care, dental care, vision care, orthopedic services, things like that as well. So there are going to be a lot of things that you wouldn't normally see in a school and might not see in a typical special ed facility these days that Brandywine wants to incorporate into this project. But all of that is very preliminary right now.
New schools are generally considered a good thing, but in this case there is at least one red flag, and that would be, as we talked about earlier, traffic associated with all of this. What's the concern regarding the school and traffic?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting one because, again, the housing development would not have an entrance on Shipley Road, but the school district expects to locate the entry exit to its new building if and when it's built on Shipley. So now, early learning centers typically don't have hours that start and end during peak traffic times, but because of the age of children that would be here, they don't use big school buses either. You're either going to have parents driving their children to and from the school, or the district would be using small vans that serve, 12 to 16 kids for the transportation. So, instead of having maybe a dozen school buses moving in and out in the morning or in the afternoon, you could very well have, and I'm just kind of guessing at this, 100 or so cars, maybe more, and vans dropping off and picking up each day. Now, that's added congestion, but it is during off-peak hours, so it's really unclear what that real impact might be. Now, the district does say that it would like to include long driveways into its construction plan, and what the purpose there is that rather than have traffic back up onto Shipley Road as the cars are moving in and out, that there'd be a longer area where the cars could stack up within the school grounds.
Are there any other concerns about putting a school on this particular property?
Well, the concerns that I've heard so far, again, take us down into some legal weeds about things like deed restrictions and record plans, kind of like what Capano has to deal with on the shopping center side of things. Community groups have raised a lot of issues. They don't want lights illuminating the site late at night. They don't want evening activities other than the typical PTA meetings. They don't want open space used for school athletic events. Now, that's something you normally wouldn't expect at a site where the oldest student would be, say, 5 years old, but the district at one point did float an idea of using some of that area as kind of as a practice golf range for its high school golf teams. There's a push on the one side, on the community side, to have these items written into deed restrictions, and now the school district doesn't want that, in part because they fear that deed restrictions would be too hard to change if the district wants to use the site in a different fashion 10 or 15 years from now. they would rather put their promises of what they are willing to agree not to do onto the record plan for the site. Now, the record plan is a legal document that gets filed during the construction and approval process, or at the end of the construction approval process. The difference is, if the district's plans change down the road, it's most likely going to be easier for them to negotiate changes to the record plan with the county than it would be to negotiate changes to the deed restrictions, which are normally imposed when one party deeds the property to another. So in that case, it might be the Capano interests who would be deeding the property and therefore be writing the deed restrictions. And so the school district would prefer writing these things into the record plan so that any changes in the future would be dealt with by working with the county rather than with third parties who might have different interests than they do.
There are those who are arguing that the community would be better served by not having a school there, but instead having just open space, which you had kind of talked a little bit about earlier. Can you explain what the argument is here?
You know, again, there's something to be said for preserving more open space and for making it available to the residents of a fairly densely populated area. Now, the golf course that had been there years ago was open space, but it wasn't open to everyone. And the reality is that Capano, the developer that owns the land, could go ahead and, without even getting a rezoning, build something like 175 homes on the site. So what it boils down to today is the question is, what's the best use for the land, or more precisely, what's the best solution that satisfies both the developer and the community? When Capano expressed the willingness to set aside those 45 acres as open space, the county didn't bite, but the school district did. Now, the next question, which probably won't be answered until next year, assuming the school district is able to move ahead with its planning, is how much of those 45 acres the school district will say it has to use for the early learning center and the associated play areas and parking spaces. Now, there's certainly going to be some land left over, at least 15 acres, maybe a little bit more than that, but it's not clear where on that site the acreage might be. Now, from what I'm hearing, the school district would like to reserve that land for future use, but in the meantime, there may very well be a way to keep that land accessible to the public. We're going to have to wait and see what happens when the school district actually puts together a plan for the site.
There was an informational session about all this last week, and a lot of this was discussed there. And as we mentioned at the top, the Newcastle County Planning Board gets its first look at this next week. What do we know about the timeline, about how this is going to play out? So when will we see some movement on it?
Well, yeah, the real action here does start playing out on Monday night when the Planning Board holds its public hearing on the plan. Chances are it will cover more than just the school versus open space issue, and likely get interesting because of these requests that Capano was making for the variance and the deed restriction needs, which all of these have to be taken care of for the entire proposal to be approved and move forward. Now, successful developers do tend to get their way, but there are a lot of moving parts here. Anyhow, following the hearing on Monday, the Planning Board would then discuss the proposal at its business meeting on October 19th. And then, if all is going well for Capano, there would be a full hearing. There would be a hearing before the County Council's Land Use Committee on November 2nd, followed by a full vote by the full council on November 9th. And then at that point, assuming all these approvals are given, Capano would submit construction plans. And now, when you get into the construction plan phase, the County Land Use Department people tell me that that's a process that can take months and even years. So it's unpredictable how the timeline would fall. Now, there would be also a separate approval process for the school district's early learning center, but that couldn't start until Capano deeds that acreage over to the school district. And so that could come if and when the rezoning is approved. That's what the school district certainly hopes, but we really don't know how all of that is going to play out.
As always, Larry Nagus, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the reporting. Thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome.